BBC Radio News.
BBC Radio 4. It's 9:05, time for midweek with Libby Purvis. Well, that's how we announce ourselves on Radio 4 UK. Here's how they do it in the United States.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on the radio, your Radio 1 listening children being slung out of the house to school, and we come at you with 23 American radio call sign jingles. Those are the creations of Jonathan Wolfert of Jam Creative Productions in Dallas. He is not in Dallas this morning, supervising massive orchestras and angel choirs singing Radio Wonderful. He's right here. Jonathan, why were all those jingles strung together in that song?
Well, what you heard was part of something we call the Jam Song, which was a promotional item that we put together a few months ago because we were looking for some way to demonstrate to our potential clients, which are radio stations all over the world,
how many letters you knew.
Yeah, how many letters we knew, how many four-letter words we could spell, and who we did our work for, which is by and large, the largest stations in the world. And we thought maybe by putting them all together in one big song, it would get the point across.
Would you know one of your own jingles if you suddenly heard it out of context coming through a window in the distance?
In about a note and a half, yes, I think so.
You can hum them all, can you? You can remember what tune, WXBC, and so on.
Believe it or not, they're all in here someplace. Not only our jingles, but thousands of others that were made by other people as well.
We shall explore the recesses of your musical mind later. Entertainment is a great theme of ours this morning. We've got to move south now. We've got to move down to Dallas, because at this very moment, although I can't quite work out the time difference, in Dallas, Texas, somewhere, there is a huge orchestra and six sessions singers crooning out a set of initials like WHYT or WPLI or something. Jonathan Wolfert's job is to be the president of Jam Creative Productions, makers of jingles, and to write them. I mean, you're not just an executive president. You make up jingles, don't you?
I do some of everything there is to be done in the whole process.
You actually even do Radio 1 and 2 over here, don't you?
Yes, we've been doing Radio 1 and 2 for the past 10 years, happily. And we specialize in creating short little pieces of music that range from a couple of seconds to, having a minute is a big luxury in our business, to identify radio stations and in some cases television stations too, but mainly we specialize in radio.
We'll hear some in a minute, but I would have thought surely the trouble was if you're writing all these jingles, they're going to get too similar in sound. They all sound the same. Do they all actually have a different tune?
Many of them do. The thing is that every station has its own unique problems that they're trying to solve. Their competitive situation may be a little different. The likes and dislikes of the individual program director are always a little different. So there is a lot of variation, although in America, since there are so many stations, it is inevitable as you go across the country listening, you're going to hear a lot of things that sound similar. Because if somebody's very successful, let's say in Los Angeles, and somebody in Nashville hears about it, they might try to do a similar thing. So the listeners in Nashville really don't know it's the same. But
if you drive across the states, the Jam sound
is
pretty
place.
Heavily in your ear. Let's listen to a little bit of that Jam sound. This is an example of how you sell your service to stations.
The WNBC package. Nothing but class. Makes use of two different vocal sounds to better match the texture of your...
NBC 66 WNBC. They're all very good.
Your session singers must be special kind of people to sing initials all day in that kind of erotic kind of crooning, delighted voice. Not easy, is it?
No, and all diatonic. Did you notice that? They're all diatonic. And did you notice, too, they were very comparable to Hancock's Half Hour, weren't they? Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Did you notice that?
I think we should get some money for Wally Stark.
Yeah, not
okay. Tell us about the sessions. Tell us about the sessions.
I was going to point out, I don't know if that three-note tune, bong, 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 has much significance over here. It is, in fact, the NBC chimes, which is a famous trademark of NBC.
Before and they became General Electric.
And WNBC is their station in New York, so we played off of that in all the jingles. The singers are... the one thing that they all have in common is that they are excellent musicians. There is a preconceived notion that if somebody is singing a commercial or a jingle, it must be they're just not good enough to do records or be on the stage. It's just the opposite. To do this kind of work, you have to be able to read music perfectly. You have to be able to enunciate correctly, do your phrasing, and know how to blend in with a group of other singers, because in a very short time you can't afford to lose a syllable or a word.
Do you generally manage the volume you produce? Are they one-take chaps, these singers? Do they just come out and sort of say, okay, read that and sing it and it's okay?
On a good day, but usually in a four-hour vocal session we might do anywhere from 20 to 30 different short jingles, such as the ones you played, and they've not seen the music prior to the session or anything. They just show up, and there it is. And the harmonies, this was a seven-voice singing group that you heard. The harmonies are very, very complex, so they have to be able to read those notes on the first or second take, and they can do that. It's pretty amazing.
I must confess that yesterday when our producer, who is a musician, played them to me, I am not a musician, I have no musical subtlety, I said, these are surely the musical equivalent of instant soup you make in a cup with a kettle. And he went mad. I mean, you know, he threw furniture around, broke windows, said, no, they are not. They are enormously skilled, enormously rich,
yes,
very,
right.
very difficult miniature
right.
compositions.
See,
you'd
right.
back that up, Kenneth.
Yes, absolutely right. There's so this sort of singing, you see, which you could have got a Melba or, Clara Butt to do, and they would have done them delightedly because they are fundamentally diatonic, you see. The rotten stuff is chromatic.
Is it fulfilling to do them, Jonathan? Or do you ever want to do a big composition of your own?
Well, my wife and I started JAM about 12 years ago. JAM, the initials J-A-M, stand for John and Mary Lynn. Mary Lynn is my wife. That's where we got the name. The reason we started it is because this was what we wanted to do. I've always been interested in radio and production and music, and this is one area that combines all three. So it is a thrill for me to hear jingles that we made come out of a station that I'm listening to, whether it's the BBC or any number of thousands of stations elsewhere.
There are people who actually collect them and study them, aren't there? I mean, there are jingle musicologists.
Especially in the UK there are.
And, here?
oh, yes, because I get letters from them constantly. Which is great, because I started that myself as a hobby. When I was in school, I was so fascinated by these little songs and wondered who did them and liked to compare from one city to the next how they would change the lyrics. So I started collecting them as a hobby, and a lot of other people still do that. They just sit and listen to them.
Could you make the seven of us into one of those groups? Because I'm tone deaf.
Given enough time, perhaps.
You mean on another program?
Yeah. We get repeat fees every time the jingle is used. Do you, in fact, get paid every time, or is it a buyout? Just out of interest, so that when one hears it, one knows whether to be envious or
simply
admired.
Always bring it down to royalties, Giles, don't you?
He's financially involved with his children's education.
The station IDs are usually licensed for a year or a two-year period, because stations play them so often that both they and we would go crazy trying to account for every play.
Just very quickly, could you produce them for anything? Could you produce one for Radio 3 or Radio 4?
I'd be delighted. Sign here.
Would it sound like all the others?
Not necessarily, because the styles are very reflective of what the radio station is all about. We do jingles for talk stations that are a lot different from the rock and roll jingles, obviously.
I like the one you called Pretty Basic on your tape. That sums up my craft.
Nigel, one for a cinema.
Pretty Basic.
One for a cinema. Get one. Yes, push a button.
Seems to have gone very nicely to the instant pain, Pretty Basic.
Nigel.
I should explain one thing, though. Mm-hmm. On that tape that you played, that is the tape that we would send to a radio station
yes.
that might be interested. And that's not something that would air in
no,
that
you,
form.
You'd elaborate. elaborate on that, yes. Right. Nigel, your instant poem, let's hear it. We awarded a jingle to Gardener's Question Time in the news this week. We are going to hear the Jam song again. So thanks to Nigel, John Wolfert, Freddie Hancock, Roy Roberts, Giles Brandreth and Kenneth Williams. Here it is, the Jam song from Jonathan's angel-voiced cruise.
KDKA, Pittsburgh, and Coast 103. Continuous country, KYGO. WMAL and WMTK. The sound of Jam is everywhere you go.
Midweek was presented by Libby Purvis and produced by Victor Lewis-Smith.